For a long time, I've been fascinated by how humans, as a generalization, a major segment of the population, have evolved and developed as a whole to focus on negative things or focus on what it is that they don't want. I see this all the time in coaching sessions. It comes up so much when I ask someone, what is it that they want? What is the outcome for the session, for example? How would they love things to be differently? And like 98% of the time, clients will respond with all that it is that they don't want. What did they don't like? And I say, okay, well, if that's not what it is that you want, what is it that you'd want instead? And it seems like it's a hugely puzzling question for so many people. It's an obvious one. You might be sitting there going, yeah, of course, I know what it is that I want. But the majority, if you're sitting in that position, and maybe you've been through this situation before, if you've ever got personal one-on-one coaching or some kind of therapy or counseling, when your practitioner has flipped it on you and say, okay, if you don't want that, what do you want instead? It's really interesting in the way that the brain has developed to focus on a lot of the time the negative and what we don't want. Through doing the work that I've done, my assumption, and I'm not sure if this is scientifically proven, there might be research around it. My assumption, and what I've gathered at least, is that the humans as a whole have developed this way because I believe it's what kept us safe for many years. There's a part of the brain that has been there for hundreds of thousands of years, ever since the beginning of the evolution of the human being, to really be able to focus on the dangers and the risks out there. When we're walking the plains of the Sahara, that there's a part of the brain that's watching out for those wild animals that was going to eat us. And so it makes sense that we're forever scanning those dangers. Now, in this day and age, sure, scanning for dangers if you're crossing the road or when you're driving the car and riding your motorbike, all these things is very important. A lot of our life, though, we don't have those same kind of dangers, or we don't have those same kind of challenges. And the brain is incredible. We've still got that part of the brain that's still focusing on all the things that we don't want. That's my hypothesis around possibly why we've developed this. Why I wanted to open up this conversation, share it with you, is I believe this is another reason why so many people aren't going after what's most important to them in life, or even more so, haven't developed or got curious enough to really find out what it is that they want most in life, to really go after a life to fall in love with. Because so much of our attention is focusing into what it is that we want less of, to stop being broke, to stop having the procrastination, stop having this job we don't want, stop being stuck in the grind. Stop having not enough time for the things that it is that we love. And so tied up with all these things that we want less of. But as the saying goes, where focus goes, energy flows. And so there's this weird thing that happens. Maybe if you've ever snowboarded or rode motorbikes or, done extreme sports, where you turn your head, where you look is typically where your body is going to go. And that's, when I was always riding motorbikes or snowboarding, for example, they'd always say, don't look at the tree, don't look at the tree, don't look at the tree. You look at the tree, you hit the tree or the barrier or whatever it is. And it's exactly the same thing when we're designing our lives, right? And yet, I suspect this is probably not a new conversation for many of you. And if you're listening, you're like, yeah, Dan, got that. But still, how do I make a change? Well, that's what this whole conversation is about. If we go back to the very first episode or the introduction, even around facing our reality, I think this is a big part of it. So, what is it that you want instead? And so, we need to flip that around. When I do flip that around, what I've noticed in coaching sessions is we flip it around. Maybe it's a little bit like pulling hen's teeth and going, wow, that was really hard to get out. And then just the simplicity of what it is that we want with not really a lot of detail. Okay, so if you don't want this life stuck in your job, trading your hours away, for example, what is it that you want instead? Oh, here, for example, I don't know. I just want to go and sit on the beach and drink cocktails. And I'm like, that's your vision for the future. That's what you want to build your life around. Like, yeah, that would be amazing. My response to that is, well, that's not a vision for the future. That's merely escapism from life. And I trust that you appreciate that. And if you've ever gone and, maybe going on a holiday, that's awesome to go and lay on the beach and drink cocktails. I'd imagine after sort of 5 days, 7 days, for me, it's like 2 days, I'm getting bored of doing that. You need a whole lot more in life than just sitting on the beach and drinking cocktails. There's a lot of people that I see that already do this. They come home from work and they sit on the couch, and I used to see this back home a lot, open up a case of beer and drink that, or open a bottle and just drink that. Okay, it might not be the beach, but it's kind of the similar thing, isn't it? It's literally escaping and numbing out from life. And I wonder if you didn't have the job that you didn't like, or the schedule that you didn't like, or the work colleagues, all the things that you didn't like, would you still want to escape from life? Would that still be your vision? I would imagine the answer is no. What if you're super inspired by your job? You're passionately hanging out with your colleagues and the people that you serve. It lit you up with inspiration. You had a relationship that you served each other in, and you grew in this incredible, loving, connected way. What if you had all the friendships, the emotional fortitude to turn up and live out your hobbies and live out your dreams in a way that elevated your life? You probably wouldn't want to go and escape life. And see, I can't say I've necessarily arrived at that point. I think I've got a sense of humility in going, there's so much more work for me to do. But I can say one thing. I've tried sitting on the beach and drinking cocktails many times in traveling these locations, and I can tell you why, it's absolutely boring. And also, in saying that, just being able to sit here and do these podcasts and connect with so many of you that we work one-on-one and in group facilitations and travel the world and visit you all and work at these retreats, it's incredibly inspiring. My girlfriend asked me the other day, if you could do anything, what would you be doing? And honestly, I sat there for a moment. I pondered for like half a moment, and I said exactly what it is that I'm doing. I would just love to be better, which I'm becoming better every day. That's why it is that I show up. And she kind of looked at me with a little bit of a sense of frustration. She was always like, "Dan, why do you always give the most boring answers?" But then she was like, "No, but what is it that you wanted to do then when you were a child?" And I was like, "I don't know. It was like a stunt man or something like that." And then we went and watched Travis Pastrana videos and Nitro Circus. And she was like, "Well, I'm glad you didn't follow that dream." And I'm like, "Yeah, kind of the same with me. Although I would love to go get a wingsuit still one day. That's still my dream because of the excitement." But so how do we do this? What's holding most people back? I don't know what's holding most people back. What I've noticed in this half decade of coaching and working with hundreds of clients and interacting with many other coaches is, one, it's facing the reality, really facing the reality of whatever's holding you back from tapping into your true essential self. You're like your primal genius that's within inside you. I believe a lot of our conditioning, from our parents, I believe our parents were doing the very best that they could with all the tools that they've got, and all the traumas that were passed down to them, and we're stuck in the tribal cycle. We are right where we meant to be. We're right where we are. And I think there's a lot of appreciation that we can give to that and acceptance. And then now, as adults, take responsibility to make a change and continue growing and being able to pass even more inspiration and be the model of excellence for our children, the next generation. There's all of that. And so we have all of that to contend with, and then facing the reality of going, okay, so based on the personal development that I've done, based on the depths and maybe the shallowness of what it is that I know about myself, what is it that I truly want? And I still feel like it's a really hard question because we don't know what we don't know yet, right? But I also believe there's a part of ourselves that the protector parts that were spoken about previously that are there keeping ourselves safe. And this is what I hear come up from a lot of people when I say, go back to those moments, like the 5-year-old or the 7-year-old self, tap into that playful, dreamlike state of your childhood. where anything was possible, that magical world where everything is possible and everything could be real, be unreasonable with what is possible, like out of this world. And I've seen so many faces light up. I love it when I have this conversation with clients. And I remember this was a few years ago. I had this one client. He's a truck driver from the UK, and he came back to me. He goes, "Dan, you've helped me dream again. You've inspired me. I remember back when I was in primary school, I used to daydream, look out the window, and my teachers would always pull me back in and say, I wasn't allowed to do that. I couldn't do that. I had to be realistic in my dreams." And I think that happens to a lot of us, in childhood as we grow up. Adults speak to children from their adult perspective. I love the saying how adults are just deteriorated children. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think we can learn a lot from children, their playfulness, their ability to dream and live in this magical world of any possibility. I think we can tap back into a lot of that, especially while having this conversation. But going back to those protector parts, or ego, if you like to call it that, this is what I hear come up from a lot of people when they say, "Wow, am I allowed to dream the things that I'm dreaming? Because if I stick the stake in the sand, in the ground, and claim that's what it is that I'm going for, that are my aspirations, and truly go after it, I kind of don't want to believe it's true. I don't want to go after it because if I claim that I am, I'll probably fail. I don't believe that I'm good enough to reach that, or it could be possible, and I'd rather stay small and safe to avoid failure and to avoid judgment." And when I get curious about the judgment, it always comes back to judgment of self. It's not even judgment from others. I think for the most part, people inspired by others that are going big. Like if you look around you, but those that are going after big dreams and aspirations, I would imagine, especially if you're here, like this is not everyone, but if you're here on this podcast, I'd imagine this would be true for you, and that you're inspired by those people that are dreaming big and they're going after the big, hairy, audacious goals that are pretty bloody scary. And so my message for you is, why not become one of those people? Okay, you might have to overcome that judgment of yourself, overcome the fear of failure. But if you're not going after that, haven't you already failed before you've even begun? I think it's a betrayal. You're not only betraying yourself, your primal genius, the glory that you have, and your capabilities of the creative capabilities and the inspirational capabilities that you can step into. You're betraying all of that, but you're also betraying, I believe, the world. Like our responsibility as a human to step into our fullest potential to go after that. Scary? Yeah, of course. If you weren't scared, well, you're probably not dreaming big enough. Because, yeah, there'll be lots of challenges along the way. But I trust that's much more inspirational than considering and continuing to focus on all of those things that you don't want, that you don't like. So this conversation, I think this conversation ties into, if you've ever done the exercise around your ideal day, your ultimate future blueprint, becoming your best self, your ideal self, all of those kind of conversations. Well, this conversation falls into all of those kinds of activities. And I think they're really, really great activities. The reason why it's such a powerful activity is it kind of bridges the gap between what we can see in the world is there's either two sides of the coin or like two ends of the spectrum. You go after bigger, better, faster. There's relentless people. Or like you look at celebrities or look at the people that are working their asses off to have the house and the car and the boat and bigger, better, faster. And there's never any end to the game. It's like on that rat race that it's never enough. Have you noticed that? The people that are stuck in that, and maybe this could be you, maybe you haven't reached enough yet, but then when is enough? because the people stuck in this, and I've seen it. I don't coach billionaires, but I've worked with people and spoken with people that have coached billionaires, and the saddest majority of them, not the saddest majority of them, the sad reality of majority of them is they still haven't reached enough. Hundreds of millions of dollars in or billions of dollars in, they still haven't got enough. So that's not something we want to model. It doesn't matter how much you've got now. If you've got enough to get by, it's enough. But then the other side of the spectrum is going, well, okay, Daniel, what do you want me to do? The other, just drop out of life completely? You know, go and sit on the hill and meditate and escape to Ubud and Bali and do yoga for the rest of my life? Well, I don't think that's necessarily a great alternative either. Because I am a believer that I love fast cars. I love toys. I think money absolutely does buy us experience, which is really important. Money doesn't buy happiness necessarily, but it gives us a lot more choice to do the things that make us happy. Yet the ones with the most money aren't spending the money on the things that make them happy. Look at how many people have a shitload of money and they're spending their money on escapism, a ways to abandon themselves, to numb out on compulsions and addictions, just to numb the pain from within. So what's the answer here? The way that I've coached my clients through this conversation, and I continue to do this for myself over and over and over, reinventing my life as I continue to move through it. The wonderful thing of this exercise, it happens really quickly. I've seen people go from basically like bland life of the last couple of decades to living the life of what their dreams were, the biggest possible dreams in 18 months, just through following the system. And I'm going to drop a workbook, as I always do with these episodes, in the comments for you to start on this journey. But I think the real key here, or the way that a lot of people show up to this, is creating an action list. And it's not about doing more, because then that just falls into the category of bigger, better, faster, do more, which the more we do, you cross a threshold of doing, you become burnt out. You know, I work with a lot of driven, relentless type entrepreneurs that want even more success in life. And how many of them are verging on the edge of burnout, or actually have been through burnout? And they're coming back and going, I don't know how to live this life, Dan. This is just not me, but I'm too scared to go back there. That's really tough. So a better question, I say, is, well, who is it that you need to become? When you know who you need to become, then the actions start taking care of themselves, and then the outcomes of that are inevitable. And so a big part of becoming, I think, when we're tapping into putting the stake in the sand of the life that we want to live, sure, dream, go nuts on the dreaming of all the things that you want to have. So the house, the car, visualize all that. There's so much power in visualization. You know, pro athletes do this all the time. There's science, so much science around this. This is not a woo-woo concept anymore. It was for a long time, but now science is proving how visual performance or a visual training, so sitting down and visualizing training, and this is at the highest level athletes, is more effective now than the physical training. Now, there's caveats around that. I'm not going to go through all the research data, but it's incredible that those that visualize going through the training, spend more time visualizing their training than the actual physical workouts, are performing better. And so we can do this in all areas of life. It just proves, like, science still doesn't, science shows that it works, but still doesn't quite explain how it works, which I think is fascinating. I think it's incredible how much we just don't know about ourselves as humans. So one of the things that we need to really look at is going, okay, who do we need to become? What's all of the things that we can visualize in our lives? And then going back to going, what's the experience with having those things? Everything we do in life ties back to an expected experience. People earn money because they think that the money is going to give them an experience of, say, significance. And they get the money and still don't get the significance because they don't know how to acknowledge themselves. or they still don't matter really, because it's an unhealthy form of significance, going out and buying everyone drinks at the bar, or turning up the music way too loud, or having an exhaust in the car or on your scooter or whatever it is. And so that they keep going after it. But if everything we do is tied to an anticipated experience, an anticipated emotion, this comes back to heart set and tapping back into why it's so important to have emotional intimacy and emotional connection with ourselves, then we can go straight to the outcome. We can go straight to the goal. We don't need to worry about taking the long way around and busy earning money or busy trying to get all the things. Why don't we just go straight after those things that can create the experience? And yes, of course, you know, like I want to experience excitement in my life. I want to experience, I love like adrenaline. And so once I know that, I know the ways that I cultivate and develop excitement and adrenaline in my life. And there's many different ways. There's really expensive ways to go and do it, like getting a wingsuit and learning to base jump. I haven't arrived there yet. But what I can do is buy a cheap motorbike and hoon around in the forest with my friends. And so I don't need the other stuff. One of the other experiences and feelings and emotions that I really wanted to cultivate was a feeling of closeness and love, connection. Like I had love by my mother and in my family, but like intimacy in a relationship. And that was a big turning point for me. It took me years to develop that because I didn't have any self-love within myself. I couldn't expect anyone to love me in an intimacy kind of way because I didn't have that with myself. So I went on that journey, and now I'm so proud of the relationship I have. I share it with everyone. I talk about it on every call. And here it is again on this podcast, this call. So ideal future, the big questions, and this goes across all segments of your life. Questions to start considering if you're willing and ready to face your reality and put the stake in the sand is going, what is it? Who is it that you're becoming in your life? That should be becoming pretty clear through the series so far. What is it doing? What are you doing? Like, how are you spending your time? Because your time, your life hasn't been given to you just to work, of course. But how are you spending your time is still a doing thing. And it has to be more than do like more than just sitting on the beach and drinking cocktails. What are you doing? Because the next question is then, like, how are you experiencing those moments of doing? And by experience, I mean, how are you feeling? What are the sensations within you? What emotions are coming up? And then who are you experiencing those emotions with? Those feelings with, those moments and the experience of life? I think time is emotion. Emotion is experience. We've got this wonderful little triad somehow that's all wrapped together. So what are you doing? Who are you doing it with? How are you feeling as a result? And the big question is, how does any of it even matter? How does it matter for you? And I know that's a big question. That might be a lifelong question. I don't know whether there's ever an end to that question. But wherever it is that you're at right now, it's probably a good time to start considering it, because if not now, then when? How does it matter? If you don't know why it matters or how it matters, no one else is going to know for you. And how can you create more of those moments that truly light you up inside? And so I think, well, I know at the core of my heart, based on all of those that I've worked with and myself, how incredibly profound this conversation, this way of thinking, this approach to life and cultivating and crafting your future can be if you choose to step into it and bring a level of responsibility to going after it. It takes courage. It takes leaning into the discomfort and going after it, because one thing that I can promise you is you'll discover more about yourself than you've ever known ever before, and probably more than what you even anticipate on this journey. So I hope and I trust that you're inspired to go and think a little bit differently, approach life a little bit differently, and start shaping your future differently in a way that will just blow your mind when you go after and achieve it. And know this, when you commit to it, it will be faster than what you'd ever dream possible. So we'll see you in the next episode. Ciao for now. Love rocking out with you.